Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now, here's Justin.
If you would take your New Testament, go almost to the end. 1 John. I want us to draw some thoughts from this short 5-chapter book, yet so many great lessons that we can learn. As a little bit of background, who wrote the book? Now, there are a couple of Johns who are mentioned in Scripture. John was a very common name in the first century, just like it still remains to be common today. Two prominent Johns I can think of. One's John the Baptist. He was the cousin of Christ, the forerunner of Christ, the voice crying out in the wilderness that was prophesied that would pave the way and point people unto Christ. Now, that's the first John that I can think of. And the other one then would be the brother of James, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. Well, which one of these wrote the book? Well, I have the death of John the Baptist recorded in Scripture. He was appearing before Herod and Herodias, and he told Herodias, "It is not lawful for thee to have her." And he lost his head, literally, for speaking the truth. And that still happened during the days of Christ. And I know that none of the books of the New Testament were written while Christ was still on the earth. Probably James was the first New Testament book about a decade after, the early 40s. That's probably our first New Testament book that was written. So I know it couldn't then have been John the Baptist. That leads me to John, the brother of James. James and John, the sons of Zebedee. If you remember their story, they were called while they were out fishing with their father. They were mending the nets. Christ said, "Follow me, I will make you to become fishers of men." And they literally just dropped their nets. They left their father, they left their livelihood to go follow Christ. That is this John. It's the John who penned the 4th gospel account. By some, the most beautiful gospel account. That is the gospel according to John. Just such a beautiful way of depicting Christ. John, very interesting. He wrote 5 books in our New Testament. He's the second writer with the most books. Of course, Paul has 13 confirmed to his name. And then if you count Hebrews, that'd be 14. But 13 confirmed, then John comes in second. John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. So that makes him a pretty important person. He's also the apostle whom Jesus loved. We know that story, how he's often referred to. One of the inner three, Peter, James, and John. Now, is his brother the same one that wrote James? Now, that's a different James. His brother was the one that was beheaded in Acts chapter 12 by Herod. See, there's kind of a theme here, I guess. But we see John. As he writes the gospel account, he's the last gospel account, historically speaking, we can tell was written. And it's almost like he comes in after Matthew, after Mark, and after Luke, right, to the Jews, to the Romans, and to prove the physicality of Christ, respectively, that John comes in and fills in the missing details to get us a 360 picture of Christ. So his is the last of the gospel accounts. He has the last of the books. The 3 John letters, the epistles that bear his name, probably written in the 80s, late 70s or 80s. John lived in the city of Ephesus, from what we can tell. And then he became a political prisoner on the Isle of Patmos, which is just jutting out in the sea from Ephesus. So it kind of makes sense there. Ephesus was a port city. I want you to look here at 1 John. There's a couple of things that's very interesting. John talks more about love in these short 5 chapters than some of the other writers do in the entirety of their writing, of their epistle or their book. But I want us to talk about faith, hope, and love. You know, when Paul wrote 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, he ends it by saying, "Now these 3 things abide, faith, hope, and charity, but the greatest of these is love." Of course, we know love and charity are synonyms. So there are 3 things that remain. He says, miracles, they'll cease. Speaking in tongues, divine healing, all these things will cease. But faith, hope, and love, and key in on love, remains. I want us to look very quickly at faith, hope, and love in 1 John. Let's go to faith first, chapter 5 and verse 4, if you will. Actually, 2 verses from chapter 5. 1 John 5 and verse 4. And as I read this verse, you may think of a song in our hymnal. Let's see if you do. "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Do you think of faith is the victory that overcomes the world? No doubt the writers had been spending some time in 1 John because that's what the Bible says, that faith, it makes things possible. He has just defined, let's see here, God's commandments, that they're not grievous in the previous verse. And so he contrasts that with God's commands and faithfulness. And faith is the victory. Verse 13, he says, "These things have I written unto you, that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye might have eternal life, that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." That's twice belief in the same verse. To have faith, you must believe. Faith comes by hearing, Romans 10, 17, hearing by the Word of God. We must have faith. Number one, faith makes things possible. I hope it's no shock to you. There are some things in the Bible I just don't know how to explain. Gary would be on the same boat. Every minister, there's just every Christian even. There are just things in the Bible we don't know how to explain. I don't know how God made the sun stand still for a day and a half, or half a day in Joshua 10. But I have faith that he did it. I don't know physically how God parted the waters of the Red Sea in Exodus 12 through 14, but I have faith that he did it. See, faith makes all things possible. That's how we overcome the world. Number two, let's look at hope. Back up to chapter 3, if you will. Hope makes things bright. 1 John 3 and verse 3. "And every man that hath this hope in him purified himself, even as he is pure." What is this hope, John? Well, let's put it in context. "Behold," verse 1, "what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. For every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure." It's almost, and John's writing by inspiration, it's almost like to me, John also says there's some things I just don't quite understand. He said, "I don't quite understand what he's going to look like when he comes back. But as a Christian, I have that hope that when he comes back, I'm faithful to him, I will meet him. And then I will become like him, have that spiritual body, leave this earthly body behind and just inhabit that spiritual body. And if I'm faithful, I have that hope and that confidence knowing that I'll spend eternity in heaven." Well, that makes the day bright, doesn't it? You know, Paul says in Romans 8, about verse 18, "For I reckon the present sufferings of this world are not to be compared with the glory that is to come. When days are dreary, I know my Jesus cares." That gives us hope. Number two, makes things bright. Let's look at love, number three. Chapter 4 is the love chapter of 1 John. Look at verse 8 to begin, if you will. Love's going to make things easy. 1 John 4 and verse 8. "He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love." How is this easy? Well, if I want to love, I just emulate what God does. Since God is love, then I know how to love. Jump down to verse 16. "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us." God is love. "He that dwelleth in him," or dwelleth in love, "dwelleth in God, and God dwells in him." Want to have an easier life? Pattern your life around love. I find it no mistake at all, Paul, when he writes to the Christians at Galatia, "But the fruit of the Spirit is," number one, love. Love is almost like it's the border around the puzzle that holds everything else in place. Love is the backbone. He says, "And if you have love, God dwells in you and you in him." But back up to chapter 3, verse 16, and that'll do it. You know, we call John 3:16 the golden text of the Bible, right? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, have everlasting life." If that's the golden text of the Bible, may I make an argument? 1 John 3:16 is the little golden text of the Bible. Notice here, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us." We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. It was the love of Christ that made it easy for him, although he endured suffering and pain. But because he loved the Father and loved us, it made it easy for him. to obey God's will. If we truly love God, and if we truly love our fellow brothers and sisters and man, if we truly love God, it makes it easy for us as well. Faith, hope, and love. Faith makes things possible. Hope makes things bright, and love makes things easy. Having faith, hope, and love in your life, working on them, strengthening them to exhibit them, will make a Christian so strong he or she can't be broken. You know, when Solomon writes Ecclesiastes 4, he begins verse 9 by saying that two are better than one. And he closes out that chapter in verse 12 that says, a threefold cord is not easily broken. Now, we use that in a marriage, right? One cord is the man, one cord is the woman, one cord is God, not easily broken. But think about that three-strand cord this way. If one of those cords in your life is faith, if one of them is hope and one of them is love, that's a rope that's not easily broken. We must continue to work to exhibit faith, hope, and love. Use that as a motivation as you go out this new year to constantly love, constantly have faith, and yearn for that hope. But you got to make sure you're obedient. These are blessings that only are afforded to the Christian, so you must become a Christian. If you're not one, you do that by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized, go down that watery grave, come out a new creature alive in Christ. If you're not a Christian, why not become one as we sing this invitation song? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's the only thing that could do it. Nothing more, nothing less. If you are a Christian, that blood of Jesus Christ continues to cleanse us. 1 John 1, 7 following. And if you are erring, you need to repent of those sins and be restored.
Reading the Word is hosted by Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ in McMinnville. The building is located at 2500 Faulkner Springs Road, just 1.2 miles off 70 on the right. Join us for Sunday worship at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10 a.m., and worship at 11 a.m. with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Well, thank you, Brother Dearman, and glad to have you along with us here on Reading the Word. Yes, my name is Justin Reed, and I thought for the time remaining in our program today, we would just simply read the Word. Now, if you want to catch this program again, you can do so anytime online at readingtheword.net, R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. It doesn't work, it says a radio program. From there, they're all listed by air date and program. And this is program 186. Let's read the book of Genesis, shall we? I thought we'd just start reading the story of Noah and see how far we can get on that. That's recorded in Genesis chapter 6, and I will be reading from the King James Version. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, they bare children to them, and the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, if it repented me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and a perfect man in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth was also corrupt before God. The earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Unfortunately, time is going to escape us, so that's as much as we get to read. That's the first 13 verses of Genesis chapter 6. I do appreciate you spending some time with us here today on Reading the Word. Hope you can join us again next time. Please continue to pray, and thank you for listening.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road in McMinnville.